The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 14, and we're reading verses 15 to 24 from the King James Version. And when one of them that sat at meat with him, that is with Jesus, heard these things, he said unto them, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of land or ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. This is the word of the Lord.
Pray together briefly, please. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, thank you indeed for today and the blessings of being able to gather freely to worship you, to pray and to reflect on your word to us. Thank you for the words of that parable. Thank you for all of the Lord Jesus' parables, amazing stories. And we pray that this morning, as we consider the one just read to us, that what we know not, you'll teach us, that what we have not, you'll give us, and what we are not, that we ought to be in terms of faithful, knowledgeable, obedient disciples, you will help us to become. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you'd like to have the text before you, let me at least give you the page number, please, in the Church Bible. It's 1052-1053, the parable of the great banquet. Not long after we married, Meg and I invited a couple of friends to supper. We got it all ready, 4 chunky pork chops and the usual trimmings. And we were rather looking forward to the evening. We were at college, I was at college, Meg was working as a nurse and midwife at a local hospital, and we were just enjoying the newness of married life and the establishing of friendships new. Anticlimax. They never turned up. They'd simply forgotten. So we had chunky pork chops 2 nights running that week. I wonder if you've ever experienced a similar disappointment yourself. You've looked forward to a meal with friends, perhaps involving considerable effort, but for whatever reason it turns out to be a non-event. Jesus depicted such disappointment in the story he told in Luke 14. months before the date of this feast, according to Eastern custom, all the invitations had been delivered and had been accepted. Verse 16 of Luke 14. It all promised to be a fabulous occasion. The banqueting hall looked fantastic, finished to the highest conceivable standard, no expense spared. The entertainment promised to be admirable, the very best, the players and musicians having rehearsed for some while. And as for the food, again, fantastic. Think Harrod's Food Hall Plus. All that remained to be done is recorded there in verse 17, if you want to refresh your memory. This famous story has come to be called the parable of the great supper or great banquet because the host is Almighty God himself and the feast is the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 15 helps us understand why Jesus told the story. It was in response to a man who was tolerably sure of his own invitation to God's banquet. The parable with which Jesus answered him was clearly intended to shock the man out of his own complacency, and it echoes down the ages with its message that those who are too busy for God are simply too busy. Verse 17, let's dive in. Come, for everything is now ready. And what a feast it is to which we're invited. Now I've tried to summarize the blessings of Christian discipleship and the gospel. And there they are, they've been printed on the slips for you to ponder. I see them as follows: the forgiveness of sins, a true knowledge of God, the friendship of Christ, an experience of real love and of the Holy Spirit, the reality of Christian fellowship, the certainty of usefulness, the conquest of death, and the assurance of eternal life. That's how I understand the wonderful blessings of the Christian message. If you can think I've left something out, please do have a word with me afterwards, because I'd very much value your thoughts on the subject. This is the feast, whether or not something's been left out. This is what the gospel offers, verses 16 and 17. It's a finished work, secured for us by our Lord and only Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross, and announced to us in his word just before he died, recorded in John's gospel, Tetelestai, it is finished. And God's invitation is to a celebration where we enjoy all the wonderful blessings he so richly and generously provides for us. And if you think about it, a banquet is really a most fitting picture or image, isn't it? All we've got to do in order to benefit is to come. It's not a BYOG meal, bring your own grub. It's not an invitation to bring our picnics and eat them on God's lawn, but to dine with him in his house, at his table, and that forever. A finished work. With alliteration's artful aid, forgive me if you find it irritating, I must confess I sometimes do, but the second heading, a faithful witness. We're still in verse 17. We've seen how following the dispatch and acceptance of the initial invitation, it was, according to the custom of the day, the host's further responsibility to inform the guests when they should come. Accordingly, the host's servant is sent off to announce the good news. The banquet is ready, it's free, without money, and without price. Come to the feast. Now clearly Jesus had this thought in mind when he chose the first disciples. The early Christians carried their message to the far corners of the known world. Within three centuries, mighty Rome herself had come to the feast. And because it's the Lord's desire to bless all humanity with the knowledge of the true gospel, the Great Commission to go into all the world is just as potent today as when it was first given. What men and women, for that matter boys and girls, do with the message is their thing, their responsibility. But the servant, which in a sense we may regard as representing the Christian church and its membership, is called to faithfully share the good news about what God has told us and done for us. It's finished. Come, for everything is ready. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. A faithful witness. Now, as we consider the responses, which is what I'd like us now to do, of those originally invited, we can flag up two further headings. Again, forgive the FWs. A free will, a foolish whim. Verses 18 to 20. Clearly, Jesus had in mind the Jewish people as a whole, who waited for centuries for the coming of their Messiah. Now he is telling them that the Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled, that he has come, and they were all invited to share in the blessings of his kingdom. But amazingly, tragically, when the actual time came, they declined the invitation. Verse 18. There it is. They all alike began to make excuses. One apparently had property trouble, another business trouble, that's verse 19, and a third had domestic trouble, verse 20. And if you stand back and think about it, not one of them had an impossible problem. You almost get the impression, well I do anyhow, that they'd worked harder at trying to find a convincing excuse not to come than they would have done if they'd honored their original commitment and simply come to the feast. Let's look at them one by one. The first guy had purchased a parcel of land, a field. Though stupidly, he'd done it, it appears, before he'd actually seen and evaluated it. Friends, it wasn't going to develop legs and run away in the night or during the banquet, was it? It'll still be there in the morning. I just bought a field. For field today, of course, right investments. And you have the modern man's equivalent. How many are so preoccupied with increasing their material possessions that they have no time to hear the call, "Be still and know that I am God"? The God who is even now calling them to his banquet and to a place in his kingdom, which would be their highest blessing and greatest possession if they did but know it. I don't know if any of you have come across George Bernard Shaw's play St. Joan, or heard of it. There's an imagined conversation in it between the maid and the dauphin. Joan heard voices from God telling her what to do. The dauphin was exasperated. "Oh, your voices," he's made to say. "Why don't the voices come to me? I am king, not you." And the maid answered, "They do come, but you just don't hear them." I suspect that many of us today are like the dauphin. The world is too much with us, late and soon, for us ever to hear and obey the call of God. Come to the banquet. Everything is now ready. The second fellow had just bought 5 yoke of oxen, we're told, though apparently, like the man with the field, unexamined. And now he needed to nip off immediately and try them out. There's the refrain again in verse 19, please excuse me. Presumably he's a farmer or has something to do with agriculture, and the modern equivalent, a tractor or a combine harvester or something like that. Perhaps the point is simply that the oxen are a new business acquisition and as such absorbing and interesting as new things often are. Neither banqueting hall nor church building provide the facility to try them out, so sorry, can't come after all. For can't, of course, read won't. 3, I've just got married, said a third man in verse 20, so I can't come. Well, what do you make of that? Either love had paralyzed his legs or his wife had tied them together. Poor fellow, holy deadlock indeed. He was already a prisoner, and so deflated he even forgot his manners. No apology, unlike the others. May we notice, not one of the contemptuous refusers, and I must call them that, contemptuous refusers, is kept away by any occupation that is in itself wrong or undesirable or sinful. Worldly possessions, business interests, domestic responsibilities are among the happiest things the Lord gives us in this world. But sadly, they're also able to keep us from responding to the claims of God's kingdom if we don't get the balance right. Basically, mankind is self-sufficient, or likes to think he is. He doesn't need God's grace and forgiveness. He doesn't want to put himself in God's debt. Hasn't he got a pleasant home and a rich table of his own at which to dine? Why should he respond to one greater than he? There's something in all of us like that, which makes us want to say, I'll not yield to the invitation, nor let this man, Christ, rule over me. I want to be independent. I will not come. Well, Jesus' story, I suppose, could have ended there, at verse 20, with God's banquet abandoned. But mercifully, it doesn't. He has, and forgive the last FW, he has a final word, as he always does. His anger, expressly declared in verse 21, please observe, is the anger of despised love, yet not for this the less terrible. He is determined to fill all the places at his table. So he now sends his servant on a new search. First for the waifs and strays in the streets and alleys, which must mean publicans and sinners and such like, verse 21. And then when there was still room for the vagrants in the highways and hedges, verse 23, which suggests, to me at any rate, the Gentiles. Please notice here the list of the wonderful universal inclusiveness of God's kingdom. There's a real hint of that here, isn't there? So that my house may be full. Note too, that those who accepted the invitation in these final verses are in the same category as those mentioned in verse 13, the underprivileged. After all, we know it was among the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, that the Lord Jesus found his most ready listeners and accepted his invitation. Not just because they were needy, but because they knew their need and were prepared to openly acknowledge it. Jesus' final word also includes that devastating warning of verse 24, that those originally invited have forfeited their claim to a place at my table, unquote. Well, brothers and sisters, let's pull a few threads together, one or two at any rate. Clearly, one of the story's main points is that no one is excluded from God's kingdom except by his or her own free choice. Another is the note of urgency sounding throughout, now is the appointed time, come. And may we remember what prompted, or rather who prompted the parable? The pious man in verse 15 who said, how happy he will be who sits down hereafter at the banquet in God's kingdom. And we totally misunderstand the story if we lose sight of Jesus' reply. If you don't accept God's invitation to his banquet now, it will be too late then. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant in the story, God's invitation into his kingdom is always being issued. And we are all, even now, writing our replies. Or you may prefer to say, as I would for that matter, I wrote my reply many decades ago. Either it is, please excuse me, I can't come, which is only another way of saying I've got better things to do, or it is, I'm aware of my deepest needs, I'm aware of sin too, and long for the forgiveness of the Lord and a place in his kingdom. Lord, you offer it to me in Christ, and with all my heart I thank you and accept. As Jesus himself said in another context, his first beatitude actually, how blessed and happy are those who know their need of God. Which I guess is why we're here this morning. Amen. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your amazing grace towards us sinners. Thank you for the stories of Jesus, and this morning we thank you for the parable of the great feast. And we would come with all our hearts. We thank you for the blessings of the gospel that have been listed on our orders of service this morning. Help us to think about these wonders and to ensure that they're in their rightful place in our lives. Thank you that you have said to us in your word that the mind of man has not conceived, nor the heart of man, what you have prepared for those who love you. So we thank you so much for the gospel of the kingdom, for the parables of the kingdom, and we pray that in their light and love and blessing, we may go from this place to serve you in this new week. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.